You are Locked On Wizards, your daily Washington Wizards podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Did you call game? I called game.
Gilbert, fade away.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Wizards podcast. This will be the, I can't say it'll be the last one, but most likely it will be the last one for some time that is dealing not with the Wizards, but with the Georgetown basketball coach situation. Today, meaning Wednesday, was the day that Patrick Ewing, yes, that Patrick Ewing was introduced as the new men's basketball coach. I'm here with my guy Bobby Bancroft. We're going to sort of talk about the day, and I'm also going to play for you guys a bunch of interviews. We talked to Patrick Ewing. He answered questions to the whole room, but then he spoke to a few of us on the side. I'll play that interview for you. I also talked to the voice of the Hoyas, Rich Votkin, a former player, and we'll get into a few different things on that. But just wanted to sort of broadly discuss this. You can, of course, if you're interested in any of these Georgetown discussions, we've now done two, three, four podcasts, something like that. You can find them all on iTunes. We've gone through them all when JT3 was fired, sort of the search, the announcement that Patrick Ewing is hired, now the press conference that Patrick Ewing is here. So you can go check that out. Of course, all of our Wizards podcasts. You can find me on Twitter at Ben Standig. Locked On Wizards is at Locked On Wizards. And if you're interested in whatever Bobby has to say, he is at Bobby Bancroft. So Bobby, when you and I talked the other day on the podcast with Mr. Casual Hoya, you know, I think it's fair to say that if I had to sort of grade the spectrum of the three of us, Andrew was sort of, whatever happened, he was ready to sort of buy all in on Patrick Ewing, and that's fine. I think you would probably, of the three of us, were maybe the most overtly skeptical, and I expressed some concerns, but, you know, sort of danced in the middle a little bit. You know, the whole point I think we all agreed on, though, was that Patrick Ewing, they were going to win today. They were going to win the stand of Patrick Ewing standing in front of the room. He stood up there with a pennant that similar to the pennant he held when he committed to Georgetown in 1981. They're going to win that. And he, I thought, was impressive today. So to that extent, I think they did win today. And if you were somebody who was maybe uneasy but wants to believe, I think Patrick Ewing, he was very direct. He was very honest. I think he gave you enough today on a lot of different topics to make you believe that he's all in on getting this done.
Yeah, without actually answering, you just sort of answered for me. I was going to say that being someone that's followed Georgetown my entire life, from, you know, watching them as a kid to following them as I got older and then to covering them in the media, today was absolutely awesome. Patrick Ewing was introduced as Georgetown's head coach, and there was, you know, so many former people here. You know, Big John was here, and, you know, we didn't really know what that was going to be like, and obviously this is all, you know, very great with him. Today was awesome, and he said a lot of good stuff, but I also think he said some stuff that makes you, you know, the same uneasiness that I have is still out there, particularly based on, you know, is everything going to kind of continue with the way that they treat players and they treat, you know, the media kind of, and it looks like, you know, we're going to have status quo.
Right. So let's just get to sort of stay with the sort of the positive sense of the day. First of all, Patrick Ewing, very direct, as I mentioned. He didn't have too much of a filter, I felt, today. There were a couple questions he said he wasn't prepared to answer, i.e. things like who his coaching staff is going to be, which, to some degree, hey, he's only been announced for 48 hours.
I think it was interesting that he mentioned college guys, not NBA. There's been speculation out there from, but, you know, is it going to be this guy? You know, it's from the NBA, this guy college. So that was good. And then the GW stuff.
I don't care about that. the biggest news, I guess, per se, of all that is that he said that his son, Patrick Ewing Jr., who was actually on John Thompson III's staff, cannot be on his staff for the unbelievably ironic reason of Georgetown's nepotism clause that because they're...
I guess he can't be his direct supervisor. I mean, he could obviously continue working at Georgetown, some other role in the athletic department or some sort of ambassador or whatever. But if he wants to be director of basketball operations or an assistant coach, he cannot do it here. And his dad's not really happy about it.
Yeah. No, he said that, you know, Patrick Ewing has known JT3 basically, you know, since he arrived on campus. JT3, you know, relatively comparable in age. Obviously, JT3 was here because of, you know, his dad was the coach. So he's known him his whole life, more or less, or, you know, his adult life. And he said he felt like he got fired when the news came out.
Yeah.
But then he also felt because his son's on the staff and he doesn't quite know what to make of that. One thing I thought was interesting, he said that he felt that way, that he felt like he had gotten fired. And then he thought about the situation for a couple of days. And he said he reached out to the school and said he would be interested in helping out, I guess, presumably as the head coach, which is interesting only because, I guess, you know, wasn't quite sure that, as we've been discussing this now for the last 10 days, whatever it is, 2 weeks, about the process here, you know, was Patrick doing a fallback? How early in the conversation was he? Was Georgetown initially looking to go outside the program, i.e. a Shaka Smart or Mike Bray or somebody? And then did it... they couldn't get those things that they could turn back to Ewing. Either way, he said he reached out to them quickly, relatively quickly, to say he was interested. He said when he had the interview the other day that we had heard he was going to interview, I guess, Sunday. Monday was the news. He said he wasn't sure he got the job, and I wanted to say, what? Come on, man. I think we want... No, they made a point of saying he earned the job. That's fair. He's put in the work as a coach and all that. But when you get to the point of interviewing Patrick Ewing, I feel like you almost have to be like, okay, he's going to really have to botch this for us to not give him that job.
Well, I think it was, I mean, when I heard the news that he was, you know, they put it out there he was going to be interviewed. We hadn't heard that they'd actually interviewed other people, maybe they reached out. But he's actually interviewing, and obviously Charlotte was in town for the Wizards game last night. I assumed that he wouldn't leave the meeting without the job. And the way he tells the story is he was on the bus and Lee Reed called him. So clearly he had an interview. And I know we've all had interviews. He obviously, you know, you never want to feel like you got the job, although it's Georgetown and you're Patrick Ewing. He didn't think he got the job. That was very interesting to find out that it was a phone call over the, you know, hey, you got the job. I just assumed he would, you know, by the time he left the Thompson Center, he'd already be, you know, making phone calls to Tremont Waters and figuring out, like, which JUCOs is going after him. He mentioned Europeans, which I guess Mishcherkov is one, but I don't think we've seen that here as far as, you know, roster composition, I guess.
And look, he's been in the NBA now for not only as a player, but right, as a coach for a long time, and the influx of Europeans into that league, I'm off the top of my head trying to think of some, but actually somebody I will play an interview with, he worked, Marcin Gortat, Wizard Center, I talked to yesterday, mm-hmm, about Gortat when he entered the league with Orlando. Patrick Ewing was his was his coach, and he said that Patrick Ewing primarily worked with Dwight Howard, not him, but either way, so he's had those experiences, and you're right, that's it happens. I mean, obviously the kid for Gonzaga, their main center from Poland, so, you know, it is a thing. It's not, you know, you can pretend it's not, but yeah, players come from all over, and you know, so anyway, so he said a lot of interesting things. I'm trying to kind of go through them quickly and then get to the interview with you guys. First off, he talked about last year's team. And among the things he was very direct, and it's,
yeah,
jarring almost to hear him be so direct in this position of the Georgetown coach because of how reserved JT3 has been in all the years I covered him. He said that in watching the program last year, he felt that they underachieved, that there is talent on the roster.
Agreed.
And then he told the player, he said he spoke to the players who were still here. He said he wasn't even sure who will be here.
Which I thought was like, because I saw all the players, I was tweeting it. I eventually did see Mosley. I didn't tweet that. I actually talked to Mosley. But I didn't see Derrickson, but they were all here. So for him to say that when they're sitting there and he's literally talking about them, like, well, I don't know who's all going to stay, who's all going to go. We're not used to hearing that kind of stuff publicly.
Right. And I think it was just, yeah, he, you know, maybe in time he will, as a lot of coaches do and a lot of people do in new jobs, you learn to how to rein yourself in somewhat. But for right now, he didn't on that front. So I thought that was interesting because that's something that we've all said all along. People who continue to say that JT3 needed to recruit better, he didn't need to recruit better in terms of the level of talent per se. He needed to recruit better in terms of the fit for him.
Composition.
And I think to some degree, I think that seemed to be what Patrick Ewing was saying, that he thought there was talent on this team from his perception and that they just didn't get...
That being said, I mean, Peek and Pryor aren't walking through that door.
No. Well,
and you know, so when he says that, you're just like, well, that's true, but you don't have this group.
Right. Well, no, I mean, he also, we'll get to a lot of these things. He said Okay, well, so on that front, so I don't forget it, I asked him a question. I don't want to step on the interview that I'll put up in a second, but he did say that he recognizes they're not going to be good next year. And
right.
He addressed that in the sense of scheduling and all that. And he said they're not going to be good next year, which, again, I think we've had this discussion on the podcast and privately that, hey, they don't have a lot of players. Now, that said, you might think that some people might say, well, okay, I have to go out there and get guys quick. I heard him on the – I don't know if
great quote.
Why did he say it today? Because I know I heard it on
the
Junkies.
He said it at the podium, and he was like, I don't want to have a guy, and then after 2 years be like, why is this guy here?
Right. Right, no, and he said that on the radio today also. So, yeah, I think that was interesting. So I think that's, again, at least initially an understanding of the situation. He's not walking in naive to the situation. I think that's key. Style of play, he said that his desire is to play the way the Charlotte Hornets do, basically, or the NBA style of pick up tempo, shoot threes. Okay, basically he's expressing a modern basketball sense. You can talk, you know, whatever we all want to say about the Princeton offense and all that. The biggest issue I have said 1,000 times, it isn't so much it was the Princeton offense, is that Georgetown never dictated anything. The read and react style of that Princeton offense allowed the other team to set the terms of the game. And it sounds like Patrick Ewing is saying, no, we're going to do these things. We'll ultimately see what happens. He's going to have to adjust, especially that first year, to what he has. But he even said, I can't even tell you what we're going to be maybe until I get players. But at least he's saying, and he's not even saying we're going to go back and be the 1983 Hoyas or 1984 Hoyas, but we're going to get up-tempo. We're going to play something that essentially does not resemble kind of the teams that we've been looking at the last couple of years.
And he would like them to be tough on the other side of the ball, which we've not seen.
Absolutely. All right, so in terms of the staff, he said, yes, as you mentioned, sounds like he's looking at some college guys. On the radio today, I thought he sort of inferred that he kind of had some guys lined up, but he wasn't ready to announce them. Today, later when we spoke to him here, kind of made it seem like he wasn't quite sure who to get to. He's got to talk to some people maybe on some current staffs. And
was employed. It's sort of a tricky situation.
Right.
And
But you know, he mentioned the recruiting. He also said that...
That being said, he didn't mention... about keeping anybody.
He did not. He talked about, excuse me, the need to recruit this area. Goes without saying.
No-brainer.
Yeah, no-brainer there. Back in his day, he said that the guys, you know, they'd get everybody.
He did say something that was a little troubling about recruiting. He was asked about, you haven't, you know, been in recruiting, and he didn't think, his quote was, and I don't know if he means it or not, it seems like I think everything he says, I feel like he means. Whereas we're not used to, you know, really hearing that. He didn't feel recruiting had changed a lot since 1981. And I think he's going to find that it has.
Yeah, just a little bit. Speaking of that, it's one of these topics where I guess maybe it means more to us, the media, than it does to some fans. But it does trickle down when I also hear fans talk about how they, you know, they want to feel more, they want to embrace the program more, they want to get to know them more. Part of the way they do that is by interviews, print media, TV, what have you. But the policy for Georgetown forever has been no freshman talk first semester, first semester. When I asked him about that, he basically said, hey, it worked for me, which I get in 1981. I understand why JT2 didn't want the world dealing with Patrick Ewing.
And it works when you're like, when you are the number one recruit in the country and you don't want to be bugged by everybody, you know, that's things that work for him are not going to work for everyone else. And
but what that notion symbolizes to me, I can make the argument that they shouldn't do that for 100 reasons, including just kids today are far more media savvy. They're getting interviewed when they're in ninth grade and whatever.
Especially, but you're going to want one and done. So you go to one and done, the kid can only talk for a couple games.
Right. But the question behind that question was sort of what's going to change. And I think that's a lot of people have, or is it going to just sort of be, you know, sort of JT2 part three now? At least in some of these areas, it sounds like it will be. He said there will be a lot of things that have happened that have been policy here that will continue. He didn't get too much elaborating anything beyond this particular freshman talking. So I think that's something to keep an eye on. We'll get into some of the scheduling stuff in a second, but since Syracuse is on the schedule, so it doesn't seem like that will be changing anytime soon. And you know, he reiterated that, look, he wasn't looking to coach in college. He was down with coaching Georgetown. He said on the radio today that he had thought over the years he might come back to DC as a head coach. He just thought it might be with the Wizards.
Yeah.
And you know, Georgetown came calling, and I guess ultimately at this point in his career, 54.
Or he called them.
Oh, they called them. Well, they, yes. However, yes, they called them. He called them. But, you know, at 54, he's still been trying to get close to an NBA job. I think, again, I don't remember where he said it here or on the radio, but inferred he was pretty close last year. I think there were reports of the Sacramento Kings were close. So, you know, I think he, you know, at the end of the day, he's here. He seemed excited to be here. Clearly, I think everybody is excited for Patrick Ewing. Whatever skepticism anybody has about the recruiting, the turning this around, or whatever, yeah, you have to. It's impossible if you're interested in this program at all.
Today was a big day.
Yeah.
Today was, you know, it was, walking in here, I know you're here before I was, and, you know, you got the band playing, you got some of the players wandering around, and you got Ron Thompson, John Thompson Jr. there, and it's just. You know, we're here because their family member was let go, but it's still the Georgetown family. It was very weird at first, but then it's like, no, this is Georgetown.
It was. All right, so I'm going to play for you guys in a second some of the interviews from today, different people I had a chance to talk to today. Also, I'll play some interviews I did yesterday at the Wizards-Hornets game. Obviously, Patrick Ewing's old team, he just left the Hornets. On Monday to take this job. But we talked to Charlotte coach Steve Clifford about his take on Ewing getting this job, his advice, and as I said, Martin Gortat, Wizard Center, who was played at Orlando when Patrick Ewing was an assistant. Before I let you go back to your man cave in parts unknown, any final thoughts on anything you want to say, this process that we're here, Patrick Ewing, your skepticism, your excitement, the fact that I'm sure there are many things in this building that we're in the JT2 Center right now, many things in this building you'd like to steal and confiscate, anything you'd like to discuss before we...
Well, we're not in a room that has anything, so I'm going to be good on that. I think one of the...
Literally, we're in the only room in this entire building that does not have a single... Like, you couldn't tell that we were in a Georgetown building. It is literally a large broom closet, basically.
We're in the suite of a janitor closet, I think, maybe. I thought one thing, talking to Jagan Mosley, who's obviously young, he's a freshman, he talked about how Patrick Ewing still resonates with what he thought kids his age. He said he grew up a Knicks fan. Obviously, he's too young to have seen Patrick Ewing, but he knows about Patrick Ewing. So I think that's some of the concerns people have had. Like, you know, Iverson's more of a symbol for younger kids, and I think that's true. But he really felt like, you know, Ewing being in the NBA and being a coach, he's still out there, and he thinks it still matters. And then the second thing is, you know, we got this done. This was awesome. Now it's who is his assistants. Because, I mean, he basically said this year is a wash. They did not get a chance to recruit for this year. He's going to try and turn over some grad transfers, maybe get some JUCOs if they're able to get in Georgetown, and maybe he'll go to Europe, get some guys from Milan. But, you know, Patrick Ewing came back. Great news for Georgetown. A couple good Snapchat filters if you're into that kind of thing. Now it's all about the assistants. Who's he going to get?
You mentioned Jagan Mosley. At Wizards yesterday, I was talking to their rookie center Daniel Oshefu, who played at Villanova on the national championship team. He's also from Baltimore. He was exactly the kind of guy you would think that a Patrick Ewing would be interested in. And so yeah. I asked him, I was like, well, would that resonate with you when you were recruiting? He said, absolutely. I mean, especially for a 7-footer, he said, yeah, of course, the idea of possibly going, being taught by Patrick Ewing would be interesting. So it's good to hear a guy like that, especially somebody who is not a big Georgetown fan, being a Villanova guy, that he said that would be interesting. You know, it's anecdotal, but, you know, that's the big question on some level. Do the kids today, does the Patrick Ewing name mean anything? What does it mean? And, you know, look, he's put in the work as an NBA assistant. If you're thinking about the NBA, he can, in theory, say, hey, here's what I know, here's how I got there, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
We'll see.
When people jump on me on Twitter about not being totally sold about Patrick Ewing, I feel like some of them think I think he'll be a great coach. I think being in the NBA as long as he has, and we've heard everything from all his former head coaches, that he's going to be a good coach. That's not the problem. The problem is he's never recruited and he's in his mid-50s. That's what the concern is. So it sounds like he wants to lock down the DMV, which he doesn't have to get on plane to do that. And if he gets some good assistance, you know, this could be a really good hire.
All right, Bobby, appreciate your time as always. All right, so here we go. We'll start off with the man himself. Here's Patrick Ewing talking to a few of the reporters after his press conference today.
Patrick, I was talking to Lee, and he said that what impressed him most about, one of the things that impressed him most about the interview was your vision for the program and how you wanted to be, you know, not the next John Thompson Jr., but, you know, the first Patrick Ewing coaching here. What's kind of the balance for you striking, you know, the legacy with installing your vision at the program?
I mean, definitely, you know, it has a rich tradition with Coach Thompson. I'm not going to try to take anything away from that. Basketball itself has changed in the way that it is run in this day and age, in terms of, you know, especially in the NBA, they want a more free flowing, up tempo type game, and that's the way I envision us playing. You know, I thought JT3 did an outstanding job. Had 13 years he was here, won a lot of games. Unfortunately, the last three years, it was a down. But, you know, in this industry, we all know that if you don't win, you know, the writing's on the wall. But that's my vision, is to try to get us to play a more up-tempo pace, get the ball up the floor, shoot your shots if they're there, take care of the ball, defense, rebound, just all the things that, you know, that I embody, or, you know, a lot of the people who I've worked for or worked with embody.
Coach, I just spoke to Lee Reed, and he said, you have authority over the schedule. Those were his actual words. I'm sorry to be redundant, but you know the tradition of the Big Five, where all the city schools play each other.
I see that's your mantra, huh?
Yeah, it's my mantra.
I don't know if we're going to play GW.
Do you have a personal desire to play GW? Does it mean anything to you? He just said to me, it's bigger than basketball.
It's the first day on the job. First day on the job. So right now, I don't even know what type of team GW is. I know we played them my freshman year, and then after that we stopped. So I'm not sure if we're going to play them.
How about
not.
The other schools? How about
AU and Howard? I'm not sure.
What about the idea of a city game, playing all the other teams?
That's something that I'd have to sit down and with Lee at some point and then discuss.
See, Patrick, obviously this is known as Big Man you, Alonzo, Dikembe. Where's the place for that in the kind of involving game of basketball? Where it's
always
like,
a place.
Yeah?
Always a place. Shoot, that's... You know, I'm a big man. I can't have a team that don't have any quality big man. So any big man out there who wants to come to Georgetown, my door's open. We're gonna make sure that we whatever we do, there's a place for you. But you know, I don't see there be any difference. You know, they probably have to do a lot more things than they if their skill set. Can do it.
Then, can't just be back to the basket
players. No, it's not going to be. If you look in the NBA, there's not too many back to the basket players anymore. They're more. You know, they can. You have Towns who can do both. He can pound. You know, he can post, but he also can step out and shoot. That's the way my game was. I could post up, even though I post up most of the time. But I could also step out and shoot. So those are the things that I'm definitely going to be looking for. And whoever I got, I bring in, try to develop them to be able to do that if they have the ability to get to the next level.
So, Patrick, we spent the past 15 years asking you, when are you going to get a job?
Now I got one.
but having 15 years to learn under some really good coaches and develop your philosophies, just what has that part been like for you, and how much more clarity do you have about what you want to do as a head coach because of that?
Well, I definitely had clarity. You know, I know what I want. I think, you know, like you said, I worked for and with some very established coaches, good, great coaches. You know, and the game has definitely changed. The game has changed from 2 years ago to where the way it's playing now. You know, it's more up tempo, more shooting threes, more ball movement, body movement. So, you know, that's if you don't can't get with the time, then, you know, you're going to be left behind. So it's my goal to borrow from those guys. But one of the things that you can't go away from is defense. You know, you have to be able to stop the team. You have to be able to secure rebounds, and you have to be able to push it up the floor and then get into your offense. So those are the things, you know, those things will never change.
JT3 scheduled his teams far different than Big John did.
much tougher non-conference schedules in terms of broadly. How do you kind of, I know, stay
next
one.
Next year is going to be a rough year. We weren't able to get out there and get any recruits. We're behind the eight ball. So next year is a learning process, a growing process. So naturally, we're not going to try to schedule these superpowers to come in here and just abuse us like we're little sisters of the poor. So it's a growing process. We're going to try to schedule people that the games will be competitive, and hopefully we'll win more than we lose and get ready for the next year.
In recent years, some of these, like Syracuse's and Connecticut's and Maryland's, have come back on the schedule. Is that important to you, that those type of sort of nostalgia opponents?
Well, Syracuse, I think that's already on the schedule. So that's, we're definitely going to be playing them. The rest of the guys, that's something that I'm going to have to think about and look at and sit down with Reed and discuss.
15 years for you in the NBA as an assistant. What do you, during that stretch, what do you feel prepared you the best for this job?
I think everything. Everywhere I've gone, I've had more responsibility, learned more. And I just think that even though I haven't been given the opportunity to be a head coach, I took every year to try to improve on my abilities and to learn and try to make sure that when and if I get an opportunity to be a head coach, that I'm prepared. And I think that I'm very prepared to be successful here.
How's your staff coming along? Do you have a timeline for that? And are you going more for NBA guys, college guys?
I'm going to go more college guys. I haven't picked my staff yet. There's some guys that that I'm thinking about. I have to reach out to. They're on the other people's staff. So you have to tread water, but it's my goal to get guys that can get out there and recruit, especially in this area. Like I said on my when I was up there, this area is the hotbed of talent, and if we want to be successful, we can't let them get away.
Can you take us inside of when you got that we're offering you the job call and what your emotions
were? It was what's today? Today's a Wednesday. So we flew here on Monday. Sunday night after the game, I met with Jack when I got into town. And Monday morning is when I was on my way to practice. I got on the bus. I was talking to the other coaches. I was telling them that I couldn't read them. My sense was that I didn't get it. And as soon as I'm talking to the other coaches on the bus, my phone rang and it was Reed. And that's when he told me that I got the job.
Did you have any interest in having your son be part of your stuff?
Oh, definitely. I mean, he's my son. My son, that's my blood. It's unfortunate. I know other places that have had their family member on staff, but unfortunately, because of the nepotism clause that they have here, I'm not going to be able to bring him on.
Anything else, folks?
So you have several open roster spots for scholarships and several graduating seniors. What are your plans to bolster that immediately in the short term?
We're going to look at everything. We're going to look at incoming freshmen. We're going to look at JUCO if they can get in. We're going to look at fifth-year seniors, European, anything. Anybody that we think that has the ability to be successful here. I'm not going to just jump into it and bring people in here that in 2 years I'm going to be saying, why the hell did I bring him here? I want to take my time but make sure that we bring in the right people.
When you talk to some students and some fans, some people think that over the years there's been something of a little bit of a wall between them and the program, not always able to fully embrace it. There's still been the rule of the incoming freshman not able to talk for a semester. Do some policies like that, or how do you kind of feel about
embracing the basis? It was great for me.
Right.
Being the most highly recruited athlete to come here, it gave me an opportunity to, one, just decompress and survey and learn what college was all about. So there's a lot of the old rules that are still in place, probably will still be in place. I thought that this was a great experience for me. I learned a lot, and that's what I expect from these guys.
Were you ever offered any other coaching jobs prior to this one?
No. Head coaching job?
In college?
No, head coaching job, no.
All right, Ben Standing here with you guys, and that was, yes, Patrick Ewing answering a lot of questions with candor, very direct, not afraid to speak his mind, obviously. And most of that was pretty informative. That section where a reporter kept pestering him about playing GW and other local schools, to some degree, it's a topic and worthy of some discussion. It's ridiculous to press it to the degree that it was pressed on day one, especially after he had already been asked about this topic in the formal press conference. To bring it up again was ridiculous, but whatever, we move on. Patrick Ewing clearly was not fazed by a reporter being overly zealous on this particular topic. So I've got more for you guys here. Here we go. We've got longtime Georgetown play-by-play voice Rich Chvotkin. We've got former Georgetown player Mark Tillman. And Wizards center Marcin Gortat, who began his career in Orlando when Patrick Ewing was the coach. I will play all those three things for you and get out of here. At that point, if you want to hear any more of our podcast, you know, go to iTunes. I recorded a Wizards podcast today about the D-League and a little bit about the playoff situation with the Toronto Raptors, so check that out as well. Here we go, the rest of the Patrick Ewing day at the Patrick Ewing retrospective. Well, I don't know what I'm saying. Some of it, most of it's from the Patrick Ewing day. The Gortat is from yesterday. You guys get the point. Anyway, here we go. Some more on Patrick Ewing. All right, we're here with Rich Chvotkin, you know, the voice of the Hoyas. He is literally the one person here, other than Big Coach, who has actually seen Patrick Ewing play. You've been the voice of the Hoyas for now, what?
33 years.
Staggering.
I remember the day, Ben, he was signed. Jim Marchione, we were at a hotel in Hartford. Jim Marchione knocked on my door. We had adjoining rooms, and he said, the issue is decided. And I said, okay. I said, this is going to put Georgetown a whole new level, even though they had the Durham, the Eric Floyd years, tremendous teams. When John first started, 74-75, the Merlin Wilson, Jonathan Smith era. Then it went to the Sleepy Floyd era with Durham, and then, of course, Patrick put him at a different level, 3 Final Fours. And Gary Williams told me, we played AU when Ewing was signed, and I said, Gary, tell me, what do you think? He said, go home, mark off your calendar, tell your wife, do nothing for the next 4 marches, because you'll be going to the NCAA tournament. And it came to pass.
Yeah, not even marches all the way to April, three Final Fours.
That's right.
The Patrick Ewing era was beyond the winning. It was that intimidation, that aura. That's not something you see, forget this, in Georgetown over the years. That's not something we see in college basketball, even in sports as a whole. The only thing I can sort of compare it to was Mike Tyson, the way he entered a ring and people were scared. What do you recall sort of that aspect of Georgetown?
Well, just like that, Ben. They had such an intimidating presence. And, of course, the year that Michael Graham played, you know, 6'9", with the bald head, and he and Ewing in that 1-3-1 zone, how do you get any shots in there? Look at Kentucky, 3-for-33 in that ball game. So it tells you what the aura of Georgetown's defense was during that time. Hopefully Patrick can bring that as well to this legacy.
So we're all going to get a chance to talk to Patrick Ewing. We're talking right now before the press conference. I've talked to him a couple times over the years as an assistant coach when he came into the NBA arenas, but you know, it's a different deal. You knew him back when he was a teenager. What do you recall about him, the person, and how has he evolved over the years? I've seen him more and more.
Patrick Ewing is a warrior. He's got a tremendous work ethic. He doesn't want to take no for an answer. When they lost the national championship game, Ben, he said, we're still the number one team in the country. So that tells you what he feels about his confidence about what he's going to do. I don't think he would take this job if he didn't feel that he could make this thing happen. And I believe Patrick will get the right staff. I think he'll recruit well. And he is a winner. Patrick Ewing, when he goes into somebody's home, this is Patrick Ewing. He's one of the greatest all-time players, not only in college, but in the pros. And he's had a 15-year pro career, so obviously he's done well on the pro benches. Look, you don't hire a man like that unless you think he can help you out. And I think everybody who you ever talk to has nothing but praise for Patrick Ewing. He's a college graduate. He knows the importance of academics. He knows the importance of Georgetown. He's an institution in this facility. You know, when I walk in and I see John Thompson, the second, and then right next to him will be Patrick Ewing.
Yeah, I mean, there's just so many questions to ask you because so many worries to go with Patrick Ewing. But obviously, he's taking over today as the coach because they obviously made a change with JT3, somebody you've been around with for 13 years. I guess just your, I don't want to say final thoughts because he's still around, but what are your
3 years of JT3? How do you kind
I personally thought JT3 did a very, very good job. You know, I worked with him for 13 years, as I worked with the Thompsons for 40 of the, basically of almost 40 of the 43 years I've been involved with Georgetown. You know, I felt bad for John that it didn't work out for him. I think he tried hard. I think he was an institution man. He loved Georgetown. He loved being a basketball coach, and hopefully things will work out for him in the future. You know, it's just a sad situation, because I think he really, over the 13-year period, tried to build a good program here, and I think he did it the right way.
I bet your son has counted how many times you said Hoya is a win back when Patrick Ewing played. Are you ready to start saying it again with Patrick Ewing as the coach?
You know, that was my first thought. You know, they're going to do a lot of Hoya's wins. In fact, if you look at the word Ewing, and I saw this inscribed, E-W-I-N-G, in the middle of his win. I mean, isn't that amazing? But, you know, Patrick will bring a very positive spin to this Georgetown program. He's a winner. He has a command presence. He's got great connections. And I think it's a great, great hire for Georgetown. You know, you look at all these other names that were floated around. And when Ewing's name came up, I said to myself, I said, this has got to be the guy. He's tied to Georgetown. He's a Georgetown graduate. He loves the Hoyas. Patrick Ewing Jr. was around here, and you know, and I'll tell you what he told me years ago, Ben, which was the cutest story. He said, you broadcast my games, you broadcast my son. He said, when you get to my grandson, you know, you've had a great career.
Rich, I really appreciate it, man. I'm going to be excited to hear you call his games. I really appreciate you.
Well, I'm looking forward to it, Ben, and I think good things will happen. You know, again, you remember, this is going to be his first year. He's going to have to get his feet wet, but I think he will bring in the right people and do a good job, and the Hoyas will be back.
Really appreciate it. Thank you.
Sure. Okay.
I'm here with Mark Tillman, former Georgetown great. To have Patrick Ewing back is a mind-blowing proposition for many of us who were watching. I know you played for Georgetown, obviously. What does it mean to have Patrick Ewing back here as the head coach?
Well, it means an awful lot to the university to have someone who has put the school on the map, who's someone that has a presence that has made Georgetown what he is today, and to have him come back home and be the leader of this basketball program means a lot to the university.
What did it mean for you when they were going through the process of looking to bring in a new coach? How important for you was it to have somebody with a connection to the program as opposed to somebody from the outside?
Well, there's a running joke around here. We definitely didn't want nobody from Duke or UNC to come coach the program. But it means a lot to have someone from the family come back and coach the university. Someone who understands what Georgetown is all about. Someone who really created the Georgetown mystique, Hoya Paranoia. So to have him back here to run this program means everything.
What did that mean for you? Because you came in like that generation, or not the generation, but a couple years after that Ewing era. What did it mean for you growing up in this area to see Patrick Ewing play? How much did that impact you wanting to come here?
Well, my story is a little bit different because I kind of grew up with the family. Me and John played together in high school. Me and Ronnie played together too, so it was a little different for me, so I kind of understood and knew, but to actually be a part of the Georgetown Hoya family meant a great deal to me, and obviously watching Patrick grow up, me watching Patrick as I grow up, meant a lot when I walk through the doors and see all the paraphernalia around here.
Obviously, Big John is here for the day to see his former player be introduced. I don't know how much you've been able to talk to Big Don in recent days, but how's your sense of his attitude seeing Patrick Ewing, his, you know, maybe his most famous player, come back?
Well, I mean, I think it's still bittersweet. I mean, you know, he loses his son, which is definitely probably heartbreaking for him too, but then you gain another son in Patrick Ewing. So again, I think he's still happy about the situation in terms of having someone from the family, the Georgetown family, take over the reins of Georgetown basketball.
Cool. Well, I think things are about to get started here. I really appreciate your time, Mark Tillman. Thanks a lot.
All right, thank you.
We're here with Martin Guartado. If I looked at it right, you started your career in Orlando with Patrick Ewing as an assistant, correct?
Right.
So clearly, I'm assuming you worked with him. What he obviously got the Georgetown job. That's kind of what we're talking about. What was that like to work with him, and how did he kind of help you get your career going?
Well, I had an opportunity to work with him and mostly talk with him for 4 years. I had some workouts where I practiced with him, but most of the time he was taking care of Dwight Howard. I was working with Brandon Malone. But he was definitely one of the guys that I could go to and talk to him about, you know, just basics of basketball. And I remember I had a lot of great conversation with him about being a leader, being, you know, the right guy, the right, you know, the right person in the court, you know, doing the right stuff. And he had a really influence on my basketball career. And at the end of the day, you know, his name is obviously so big that just his respect that he has around the league is incredible.
Did you, I mean, obviously at that point he's an assistant, but that was still a ways ago. Did you sense that he would eventually become a head coach one day, that he would be, you think he could be good at that?
Yeah, I think definitely, as the many coaches said around the league, he already paid his deuces and, you know, he's ready to be a head coach. You know, I'm very happy for him. He got that job. You know, I'm even more happy because I'm going to be able to see him every day here in Washington. So, you know, I'm going to cheer for him, and I know he's going to be there with his son that he's also, I think, assistant coach right now, Patrick Jr. So that's going to be great reunion over there, you know, Ewing's family. But again, it's yeah, I have a great relationship. I'm happy for him, and you know, I'm hope he's going to do good.
I know you come from a family, a boxing family. You come with a certain attitude, but when he played, that's what he was known for. Did he instill any of that in you and the team? Did you feel that?
Yeah, I remember the day that I remember there was this one particular moment a few years ago when we came with Orlando to Madison Square Garden, and we were in the elevator going up to the locker room, and there was this one guy sitting in the elevator, and he said, you know, I remember one guy, specific one guy in Knicks history that made the biggest impression on me was Patrick Ewing. He always come to work with the right attitude, and he was always coming in to, you know, pretty much be ready for war. So, you know, he always had a great attitude, and I definitely, this is something I could learn from him.
Well, Mark, I really appreciate it, man.
Appreciate it.
All right, there we have it. Probably, at least for now, the final podcast that we'll do here on the Georgetown hiring Patrick Ewing situation. Interesting 2 weeks, to say the least. It ended up with an icon coming back to take over the program. We will see what happens. Thanks to Bobby for his part in the beginning. He wrote, he was one of the reporters who was able to speak to one of the current players, Jagan Mosley, about his thoughts on the situation. You can find that on Casual Hoya. I also wrote something today on the situation with Patrick Ewing, kind of what he presented to us, to the fan base today. Anyway, many thanks again to Bobby Bancroft, of course, to Patrick Ewing for his time, Rich Fodkin, Mark Tillman, and Martin Gortat, and you guys for listening, especially for the Wizards folks. Really appreciate you guys in your patience. And with this, I know it isn't about the Wizards. Todd always gives me grief that we're not talking Wizards every second here on the Wizards podcast, but there's some intertwining here, obviously, and Patrick Ewing is an icon, and we'll see if we'll about eventually breaking this off perhaps into a separate Georgetown or / college basketball podcast channel. In any event, that's it for now. Until next time, see ya.
Beal gets open for three. Dagger!
Long drive, long bounce shot. Dagger! Not ball.